Hello, thank you for joining the Camden First Assembly broadcast. We are so excited to share the Word of God with you today, believing that this Word is exactly what He has for your life. So, stay tuned for today's message, and as always, remember, there's a place for you at Camden First Assembly.
I'm going to talk to you this morning about loving God. Tell your neighbor, love God. Love God. I want to talk to you about that this morning. We talked about from Deuteronomy chapter 11 last week. We talked about the impact of obedience in our lives, what happens when we're obedient, when we walk in obedience to the Word of God, and what that ultimately opens us up to and positions us for, how it affects not just us, but also the next generations of our families, but also the church, the body of Christ collectively as a whole, and just the blessings and the benefits that are associated with that, the blessings that come when we're obedient, the curses that we open ourselves up to when we're disobedient. And we read from Deuteronomy, we read the whole chapter 11, last week, and I'm not going to read a whole chapter this week, but we read in there, and there are several times where we talked about that obedience to the Lord opens us up to the blessings that God has for us, but that obedience is a result of love. Jesus further demonstrates that when he says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. You'll obey what I say. And so obedience is one of the big ways that we show our love or demonstrate our love for God. Saying that you love someone is different than showing someone that you love them. And you can show love in many different ways. There are many different ways that you can show or that you can express love. I've shared with you before about the five love languages that Gary Chapman wrote about. And, you know, it's acts of service, it's words of affirmation, it's quality time, it's physical touch, and the other one is gifts. That's low on my list. I struggle with gifts. But those are five different ways, very tangible ways that you can show and that you can express love to someone. And there's so many different things even within each one of those areas that you can show that. But when it comes to obedience and it comes to fulfilling what God said, the Word of God in the Old Testament, the law of God, there's a lot that's there. If you've been reading with us on the one-year Bible reading plan, you know there's a whole lot of laws that were there. And it's impossible for us to be able to keep all of those laws. But Jesus sums it up this way when he's asked this question in Matthew chapter 22. And that's where we're going to pick up today. And I want to talk to you about loving God. But before I do that, how many of you were here this past Wednesday night? How many of you got to be with us? Okay, you remember at the end of service Wednesday night, I had you stand up and we prayed. We prayed for a couple different things, but I had you also stretch your hands towards the north, and we prayed and we rebuked that ice storm this past Wednesday night. You remember that? They'd put us under a winter storm warning, and they'd done that. Look at this. This is what my radar kept showing me all day Thursday. You know, we were supposed to get freezing rain at 6 or 7 in the morning. And every time I checked it, Camden was just right there in that clear. And we just had all this that was happening around us, but nothing that was happening right here. The prayers of a righteous person availeth much. Something powerful happens when you pray. Hey, I said something powerful happens when you pray. Tell your neighbor there's power in prayer. Not only that, we prayed. We didn't just pray for Camden. We weren't selfish. We prayed for our brothers and sisters far north. We prayed for them all the way clear to the Atlantic Ocean. We prayed. And, you know, everything that they had forecasted and predicted about the severity of this storm didn't turn out near what they had expected. Something happens when we pray, church. Something happens when we pray. Pray over your family, pray over your marriage, pray over your children, pray over your church, pray over this city, pray over this nation. Do not stop praying. Do not stop believing. Do not stop standing firm in what God's word has said, because when you pray, things happen. When you pray, things happen. Man, I love it. So that was pretty cool. So I took a screenshot of that because I wanted you to be able to see. I wanted you to be able to see that this morning. Well, I want to. I also want to share something else with you that was really neat. We talked about obedience last week and the importance of obedience in our lives, and I shared with you even a personal testimony of what happened when God challenged me in obedience at the start of going into full-time ministry. And Rihanna and I, we believe in being obedient and doing what the Lord says. And we witnessed a personal testimony of that this past weekend. So I was preaching Sunday morning about obedience. And so I tell you all the time that what I'm preaching about, God's dealing with me about. Right? You know, and if it's not before I preach it, it's right after. You know, if I preach on patience on Sunday afternoon, patience is what the Lord's testing me in. You know, he's growing me in those things. Well, last week I was talking about obedience and responding in obedience to what God says and the blessings and the benefits of what happened in your life. And I just wanted to share this with you. We had some furniture that we were wanting to sell and that we were wanting to use money towards some other things, some other projects that we have in the house. And so we had decided to sell it and had someone that was interested in it that wanted to buy it. And it was right before I got sick last month. And so we ended up having to push that back a week. And so we had several days at home. And I woke up one morning. The Lord woke me up. And he said, that furniture that you were wanting to sell, give it away. And I said, oh, okay. And I learned after the last time, you don't argue with the Lord. You're not obedient, you rob yourself, you know. It's not what you're robbing the Lord or even the other person of, it's what you're robbing yourself of as well. And so later on that day, I went to Rihanna and I said, hey, the Lord put this on my heart. We're just supposed to give that furniture away. And she said, okay. And she said, all right. And I said, just pray about it. I said, see what the Lord says to you. I believe that when you're in a marriage, you and your spouse make those decisions together. And so as much as you can, especially if you're both walking in relationship with the Lord, I believe the Lord confirms things and reveals things. And so she came back to me and she said, I was praying, felt the exact same way as what we're supposed to do. So we did. So we had planned to sell that furniture for $150. And so the day came for us to give it away. And I was thinking, man, we could, you know, we really could use that. You know how the enemy does. You know, it's the moment of, this is your moment to do it. And the enemy gets you to start second guessing. And I looked at Rihanna and I said, you felt like we were supposed to do that, right? And she said, yeah. She said, I absolutely did. And I was like, okay, all right. I was just making sure, just double checking. Wanted to make sure it wasn't what I ate the night before. And then it's what the Lord said. I want to be real. I want to be vulnerable with you because that's how life is. We got to be able to be real with one another, okay? And so I told her that, and so they came to get it, and we just had a great visit with them, and were able to bless them, and we had peace. We had peace about it, and so I preached about I preached about this last Sunday about obedience and what happens when you're obedient and you give to the Lord. We received, since last Saturday, we've received $1,100 unexpectedly in 1 week. Totally unexpectedly. And I share that with you because what we had no idea was coming our way through several different people. We had no idea what was coming. The Lord knew. And so I just believe that as a result of obedience, we position ourselves for the blessings and the benefit of what God has for us when we say yes to Him and when we respond in obedience to what His word and what His will is for our life. So I share that with you because when you say yes to the Lord and you walk in that and you trust Him, the Lord will bless your life. God will bless you in incredible ways, in ways that you didn't even know, in ways that you didn't even realize. And so I just wanted to encourage you today, if you're asking the Lord or if God's put something on your heart to do, to be obedient in doing, it may not even have a financial element to it. Be obedient. Trust the Lord. If it's to serve, if it's to do something, if it's to reach out to someone, open yourself up for the blessing and the benefit of what God has in store for your life. And so just wanted to share that with you this morning. Matthew chapter 22, and I want to share these verses with you. I want to share these verses with you today. This is what it says, Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Austin, were you able to get my notes in this morning? Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, if you've got the CFA app and you're in service with us today, you can open up that app and you can follow me along in the in your sermon notes on the app today. And so if you want to take notes there, you're able to do that, and then you can send them to yourself and you can have them with you. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Don't laugh at me. Couldn't find my other reading glasses this morning. All right, here we go. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Would you stand with me in this room if you're joining us in person today? And would you welcome right now with me the Holy Spirit as we turn our attention to His Word. Heavenly Father, we just come before You today, and God, we just thank You for Your presence. God, we thank You for Your glory and Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit that is already manifest in this place. God, we thank You for Your protection. God, we thank You for the ways that You've worked and moved in our lives, in every area of our lives today. And Lord, we just give You praise. God, we thank You that You are faithful, that You are good, and that You are true. And Lord, as we turn our hearts and our attention towards You right now, God, we ask that You would pour out Your love in this place. God, I pray that each and every one of us, as we turn our hearts towards You, God, as we pour our love out on You, that, Lord, Your love in the same measure would be poured out in this room and in the homes and places of every person joining us online. That today, God, we would hear, that we would receive, that we would encounter, that we would experience, Lord, the revelation of Your Word and the transformation of it in our lives. Holy Spirit, move today. Have Your way in our hearts and our lives today. We're so thankful for You. We're so grateful for You. Lord, let Your salvation, Your healing, and Your deliverance be made known today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So I want to talk to you this morning about loving. Jesus says that the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. He was asked specifically, which are the greatest of these two commandments? And so the Lord Jesus is in this position where they realize that He has answered them with wisdom, and He's answered them with truth. He silenced the Sadducees, and so the Pharisees get together and they ask this question, you know, which is the greatest? Sum it up for us. And Jesus responds, to love the Lord your God, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And so Jesus sums up the importance of ultimately what happens for us when we walk in obedience to the Word of God. We see Joshua talk about this before his passing. We see Moses talk about this in the revelation of the law of God that was given, the importance to love God, to follow Him carefully, to carefully obey all of His instructions, all of His statutes, everything that He gives. What happens when we walk in and we encounter the love of God and we begin to show that love to Him is a shift and a change, a transformation that happens in our life that greatly changes and that transforms us. We need now more than ever. We need love. And we need the love of God. Our world today is desperate for the love of God. Our world is desperate for the love that God has intended and God has purposed. We see that in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life." So what happens in our life when we say yes to the Lord, when we say yes to the plan and the purpose and the promises that He has for us, is that we position ourselves to begin walking and to begin journeying with the Lord, to begin experiencing the plans and the purposes and the promises that He's established for us. So what happens in that moment is that we begin to experience love like never before. The love of God we know is agape. It's unconditional. God didn't send His Son. Jesus didn't come to die on the cross because He knew that you and I would one day get it together. Tell your neighbor, "I don't have it together." Isn't that good news? Doesn't that just feel good to say? Just tell them, I don't have it together. Tell your neighbor, you don't have it together. I got a secret for you. If you're at home, if you're joining us in person today, you don't have it together. Nobody does. A lot of people can look like they got it together. And more oftentimes, it's not that people look like they got it together. It's that we think that they got it all together. But the reality is there's a list in the back of their mind of things that they know that aren't together, that have to be taken care of, that have to be addressed, that have to be dealt with, you know? And so we think about it so many times, and we put so much pressure on ourselves, and the reality is that no one is perfect, and God knew that no one was perfect, and he knew that no one could fulfill all the requirements of the law except one, and his name was Jesus. And he died on the cross, and he introduced us to a love that was unconditional, that said, I choose you not because you are perfect, but because I am, and because I want to redeem what the enemy, what sin, has come to try to define your life as, so that you can experience the hope and the peace and the joy of what I've intended and what I've promised for your life. So when it comes to walking in obedience to what God said, the key of it all is love. The foundation of the world, the foundation of our life is love. 1 John chapter 4 clearly defines that. God is love. He said, if you don't love, you don't know God, because God is love. You can't know God if you don't walk in love, not only towards him, but towards others. So today, I want to talk about how we love God, and then next week, I'm going to talk about how we love others. Tell your neighbor, you got to love others. You got to love people. You have to love people. I know it's hard. Some of you are looking at me like it's been a challenge. You're thinking of one individual, that you think, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Well, let me tell you, when you and I say yes to the love of God, it changes the way that we love. And it changes the effect and the impact that love has. And so next week, I'm going to talk about loving people, and I'm going to dive into that. Now, I'm not telling you that now so that you can skip out next Sunday. All right? Be here, all right? I believe there's some awesome revelations in the Word of God that he's got for us of how we can really love our neighbors. And Jesus says it this way. He says, to love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself in order to love your neighbor right. And you don't know how to love yourself until you've said yes to the love of God. And you don't until we say not only yes to the love of God, but also that pursuit of how we love the Lord. And so I'm going to share with you real quick this morning. Real quick this morning, I'm going to share with you three ways of how to love the Lord. How many of you believe me? You're my favorites. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Floyd. Two deacon, Brother Dusty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. The rest of you, I'm praying for you. All right. So three things. I'm just kidding. Three things I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to be real quick because I want to spend some time in prayer at the end of the service for needs. But three things I want to share with you. Jesus shares them. He outlines these for us. He says to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. So number one, we love God with all of our heart, okay, which he reforms. So there's a couple of things that I want to share with you about these three elements that Jesus defines. And there's a reason that he shares them specifically with us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 29, you may remember the message that Haley shared back in June about guarding our hearts. It says in Proverbs 4, 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, say, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse number 6 is the second part of point number 1, of when we love God with all of our heart, he reforms it. Verse number 6, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Tell your neighbor, it's God that makes it straight. Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Fear being to honor the Lord, to serve him wholeheartedly. Psalm 95, verse number 8, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. So these several verses further illustrate and confirm what it is that God is saying. What happens when you and I make a decision to love the Lord with all of our heart is that we position ourselves to experience the reforming process that God wants for us in our lives. I wanted to break reform up. You know, I wanted to just put re and then a big space form. Because what happens when we begin loving God with all of our heart, and this is the beautiful thing about the love of God, is that in our effort to give God all of the love that we can, to love Him with all of our heart, it's in that process, it's in that moment that God begins reforming our heart. We know what the Word says in Romans. All of us were born into sin. Nobody's perfect. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So what happens in your life and mine is when you and I begin loving the Lord, God begins changing and transforming us, right? So we know what God's Word has said in that. So when I begin giving the Lord all of my heart, when I begin loving Him with all of my heart, it's the moment that I make God the center of who I am. Your heart is the vital organ. It is the organ that controls the circulation of your body. So I love in that first verse that I shared where the Word reminds us that the importance of guarding our heart, because everything that we do flows from it. If our heart is not all in loving the Lord, then our heart, being what it is and its human nature and form, will ultimately lead us astray from what the will and the Word and the purpose and the promise of God is for our lives. Our heart will cause us to follow our emotions in circumstances and situations instead of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of God's Word for our life. So what happens when you and I begin to love the Lord with all of our heart is that God begins to reform it. God begins to literally reshape the way that we understand what love is, because we've positioned ourselves to experience the love that He has and that He's intended for us from the very beginning, to know what love was from the very start. So when we begin to love God with all of our heart, it puts God at the center of everything that we do. God is not just a Sunday morning thing. Amen? God is not just a Wednesday night thing. God is not just a when I have a problem thing. God is the center of my everyday life. The moment that you and I said yes to Jesus was the moment that we became a part of the family of God. So Jesus says, you want to know what the greatest commandment is? You want to know the one that all the law, all the prophets hang on these two? It's to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So when I begin to love the Lord, He becomes center at everything that happens. So instead of me responding to the situations and the circumstances of my life based on my knowledge and understanding or based on the way the rest of the world decides it, I go to what is the center and what is the focus of my life, the one that controls and that ultimately circulates everything else in my life, and His name is Jesus. Because I know He knows the plans that He has for me. I know that He knows what His will and what His word and what His desires are for me. So when I position myself to love the Lord with all my heart, I open myself up to experience the wisdom and the direction and the insight and the revelation of who He is, and He literally begins to change the way my heart feels about not only Him, but about those around me. I love it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. When I love the Lord with everything that I have and I make Him central in my life, first, as we talk about so many times in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, what happens? He adds all of these other things. So when my love for the Lord is all in with the Lord, I position myself to experience the reformation that God wants, where God literally reforms my whole heart's way of reacting and responding to the situations and the circumstances that are happening in my life. I open myself up to the revelation of His Word and the original intent and purpose of the love that He had for me. I experience a complete change and a complete transformation. Amen? You know, when we talk about love, it's an incredible thing, and it's an amazing thing, and we understand aspects of it from the world's from the world's perspective and from our own understanding and our limited understanding of it. How many of you have ever fallen in love before, right? You know the feeling, you know the moment, nothing else in the world matters. A couple of you fell in love once. Some of y'all are married. I hope you fell in love. If not, I'm praying the Lord will help you fall in love all over again. Lord bless them. Let them fall in love all over again, like never before. You know what I'm talking about. That moment you fell in love and you just knew, I mean, your just whole world changed. You didn't care about anything. You didn't care about how much sleep you got, how much money you spent, what was going on in the rest of the world. It didn't matter, right? You fell in love and everything changed. That person literally just about became the center of your universe. Well, that's the same kind of understanding and the love that God has for us and what happens, because that same devotion, that same attention, that same heart, that's the love that God not only has lavished on us and that God has made available to us, but it's also the love that he looks for from us. You know, if you fall in love with somebody and they don't fall in love with you back, it's not a very pleasant experience. Right? Think about it. God has fallen in love with every single person that has ever been. God has fallen in love with you. God is crazy about you. He was so crazy about you that over 2,000 years ago, before you were even born, he sent his son to pay the price for you so that he could love you every day. So that he could show you in this life, this side of heaven, because this isn't all there is. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. This isn't all there is, but that on this side of heaven, you could experience how much he loves you, and that when you take your final breath on this side of eternity and you step into eternity, that you could experience everything that he's prepared for you because of how much he loves you, because of how crazy he is about his love for you. So what God looks for in that is a relationship. It's why God doesn't force us to do anything. That's why God doesn't force you and I to respond to his love. Because if you have to force somebody to respond to your love, that's not love. Love is choosing. And so what happens in our life and what Jesus is saying is that here I have come because my Father has sent me, because he's chosen you, he wants you to choose him as well. So when we choose God and we say yes, when we begin to love him with all of our heart, he becomes central in our lives and he begins to reform our heart. He begins to reshape, redesign, and re-envision our whole life and everything that he's intended and purposed for us. And that's it for point one. Number two. I told you I'm going to be short this morning. Number two, all right? The second way, Jesus says, is to love the Lord your God with all your soul. And the thing that I love about this is that when we love the Lord our God with all our soul, that he restores our soul. He restores our soul. Check this out. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 29, it says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all your soul." Psalm 84, verse 2, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." The thing that's different about your heart and your soul is the heart is the central place. It's part of the process in which you and I show love, and even in which you and I make even decisions about things that are happening in our lives. The thing about our soul is that in the actual Greek, in Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus says soul, what God's talking about is the depth of your affection. And if you ever want to know how to show affection towards the Lord, look at David in Psalms. When we sing songs of praise and we sing songs of worship and we are lifting our voices up and we're giving God worship and we're giving God praise, we're showing the Lord affection. We're not just singing the same words over and over again because we don't have anything else better to sing. Okay, we're saying those things because we're expressing the affection of our souls. The salvation of our souls that has happened, that has taken place in our life, we're in turn showing God that same measure, that same level of affection, because we realize what God has said. So we worship the Lord. We declare his praises. We speak his praises. We give testimonies of his faithfulness. We worship the Lord. We lift up our voice because we're showing God the affection and the praise that he has given for us. Our souls oftentimes will affect other aspects and areas of our life. If we haven't said yes to the salvation that God has had for us, then our souls have not yet experienced that salvation, are still under the curse of the world. And the problem is that until we say yes to the love of God, our souls never have peace. And so it's why the rest of the world can't ever find the peace or the satisfaction that they're longing for. It's because their soul has never been satisfied. Their soul has never found peace because they've never said yes to the salvation that God has for us. Now, we can experience discouragement and disappointment where our souls are downcast. David talks about this in Psalm, I believe it's in Psalm 42. He talks about how his soul is downcast before the Lord. He says this in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 2. He says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits." What he's doing in these moments is not only showing the affection of the Lord, but he's also encouraging himself in what the Lord has said and reminding himself of the salvation of his soul, that God is determined, that God is concerned, that God is evident in every single one of those situations. And probably one of the most common verses that we know of this comes from Psalms chapter 23, verse number 3, where he says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Or he says it in that same verse in the New International Version, "He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake." So what happens in our lives is we find ourselves coming up to these moments and these times where we're tired and weary. But as believers, when our love is fixed on the Lord, like Jesus is talking about in Matthew 22, when we're loving the Lord with all of our heart, when we're loving him with all of our soul, what happens is we are submitting our soul to the Lord, and it's in that moment that he restores, that he refreshes, that he renews our soul, that we find peace, that we find hope. It's Psalm 62, not Psalm 42, but it says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him." So what happens when I show love to the Lord, when I begin to worship the Lord, when I begin to pour my heart out to God, is that I find refreshing for my soul. I find refreshing for my life. Matthew chapter 11, 29, Jesus confirms this in the New Testament. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and will give you rest, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, who are heavy burdened, I will give you rest." So what happens in our life when we love the Lord with everything that we have is that we position ourselves to experience the restoration and the refreshing that God has for us. And so the thing that's so important about, and we see this, right? When your heart is troubled, when your soul is troubled, when you are discouraged, when you are disappointed, when you feel defeated, more oftentimes than not, you hesitate in opening yourself up to share those things, even with the people that are closest to you. We struggle. Why? Because our soul is weary. Our soul is exhausted. We've suffered things that have brought discouragement. We've suffered things that have brought disappointment. We've suffered things that have maybe even caused us to find ourselves in a state of depression. We've found ourselves in a state of worry and a state of chaos. And to open up and to be vulnerable about that isn't always necessarily a pride thing. It can be. Pride is one of the biggest things that we face in our lives. But it's also one of those things where even sometimes we struggle to put words to exactly how we feel, and it's because of the depth of our soul that the weariness has set in. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." David said it in Psalm 23, "He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul." He's the one that brings life back into the weariness and the heaviness and the chaos that I have been surrounded with. He reminds me of who I am as a child of God. He reminds me of his plans and his purposes and his promises for me. He reminds me of all of those things. I'll never forget one of those moments where I didn't even realize how much my own heart, my own soul was weary. And we had gone to a service this past fall at Gateway Conference, and we got back to the hotel room, and I just began talking to Rihanna and just all of these different things that I had been feeling and that I had been carrying and didn't even realize that I was carrying, this weariness and this heaviness and this discouragement that was on my heart. The moment that I began to share those things, it began to lift that. And in that service, the Holy Spirit began ministering to my soul. And through that conversation that I had with my wife, and as we prayed and as we spent time together in the Word and in worship and the Holy Spirit, there was such a refreshing that God began doing, and there was such a revitalization of my soul that was taking place because He was refreshing and He was restoring. If our souls aren't restored, we can't experience the love, we can't experience the blessings, we can't experience the promises and the purposes of what God has for us because it keeps us from being able to truly accept and to receive what it is that God has given us. So when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, it's because it's the center of everything that you are and every part of how you process and how you function, to love the Lord with all of your soul, to bear to God your soul, to give Him that part of you that you don't even necessarily fully understand of yourself, to let Him in, to pour out those feelings and those emotions. If you look at David was, he was an expert in this. King David was an expert in this. David was great at being honest with the Lord. Honest with himself and honest with God. And I tell people this all the time, and I especially tell them this in a season where they're grieving the loss of a loved one, because we know 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and loss tells us that we don't grieve as those who have no hope. But it doesn't change the fact that if you've lost someone, that you're grieving. And it doesn't change the fact that there are seasons and there are moments and there are times in our life where we don't understand. And here's the deal. If we cannot be honest with the Lord, if we cannot bring to Him our soul, everything that we have, we can never experience the refreshing, we can never experience the healing, we can never experience the restoration of what He has intended and what He's purposed and what He's promised for us. So I have to be honest with the Lord. You have to be honest with God. I think sometimes we think that God is going to be surprised by how we feel. I'm trying to think of a really good illustration that won't get me in trouble. Time to move on. Yeah, that's right. That's wisdom that's speaking. There are moments where you can tell when things aren't right. Right? When someone's frustrated, when someone's irritated, when someone's disappointed, when someone's heart is heavy. And I'm not going any further. And so you go in those moments, and what happens in your life, you're aware of those things, and we're able to pick up on those things as human beings. How much more so the Lord, who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb? How much more the Lord before? You know, we come in and we try to pretend like we're not frustrated with God, or we're not mad at God, or we're not frustrated or irritated with these different things, and like we put up this front, but yet the people that know us best know when we're mad. They know when we're discouraged. They know when we're disappointed. They know when things are off and when things aren't right. Why? Because they love us. God loves us more than we could ever love one another. So He knows when things aren't right in our life. And so because of His love, He makes Himself available. He presents Himself to us, which is the same that we should do for one another, and presents the opportunity for us to experience the love that He has for us. So when we love the Lord with all of our soul, what happens is we open ourselves up for God to restore it, to make what is wrong right, to bring the healing and the restoration and the peace that He has for us. I'm not doing too well. Number three. is this ministering to anybody today? Is the Lord speaking to your heart today? Is God? Okay, well, that's all that matters. All right, number three. Thank you, Randy, Floyd, and Dusty, for your confidence in your pastor. Number three, we love God with all of our mind. Jesus tells us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and then He says, with all of our mind. When we love God with all of our mind, He renews it. We've been talking about this in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, what happens when we no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but experience the transformation that God has intended, that God has purposed for us, and it's the moment that He renews our mind, that we experience that we experience the ability to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love this. Psalms 26, verses 2 through 3 says, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love, and I have lived in reliance on your faithfulness." Isaiah 26, 3, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Colossians 3, 2, "Set your minds on things above, not earthly things." Matthew chapter 16, verse number 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, I love this one, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." You remember that? Where Jesus had just told Peter and had just commended him because of his faith and because of his ability to recognize what it was that God was doing just moments before the revelation of who Jesus was and what God was coming to establish on the earth. And then just a few moments later, Peter wants to try to block the will of the Lord. And so Jesus makes that statement. I just want you to know that if any pastor ever made that statement to a church member, they'd be gone. Some of you didn't find that funny. We're talking about offense on Wednesday nights. Come join us. So, Peter had just experienced this great praise from Jesus, and then he responds in this way, and Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan, who was at work through him, which further illustrates what Paul says, "My battle's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness." So what happens in my life is that I'm able to discern and I'm able to see. I think Jesus said that, and I think it's recorded for our benefit to help us understand the importance of realizing Jesus wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was helping him to understand that if your mind is not fixed on things that are above and your mind is only concerned with human perspectives and human perceptions, then you will rob yourself of the blessing and the benefit of what God has intended and what God has purposed for you. So what happens in your life and mine when my mind is fixed on the Lord, when my mind is constantly thinking about things that are above, when my mind is on that, then what happens is when difficulties come, and they will come, when trials come, and they will come, when those storms of life rage, what happens is instead of having only the earthly human perspective that I have on the situation, is I begin to think like God does in these moments and begin to realize that even though it looks like the enemy is advancing, even though it looks like that this was all along, that this was the enemy's plan and that God's not doing anything and that God's not taking notice of all of this, I begin to realize that there's something much more here at work than what I see and what I realize, and that God is ultimately fulfilling His plan and His will for my life. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord is to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." Something powerful happens in our life as believers when we say yes to the love of Jesus and we begin walking through the transformation process that God has for us. God literally begins renewing our mind. He reforms our heart, He restores our soul, He renews our mind. So, and our act to love the Lord and to show Him love, at the same time, God is doing something in our lives. And isn't that how it is? Isn't that how it is when we show love and we experience that relationship with someone else that loves us as well? It's that same blessing, that same benefit that's there, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a brother or sister in Christ. It's amazing the blessings that are associated in each one of those, and even more so in our relationship with the Lord. Because when we love the Lord, we further position ourselves for the plans that He has for us. We position ourselves for the blessings that He has for us. 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us that. No one can even begin to conceive. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even begin to conceive what God has prepared for those who love Him. Man. Romans 8:28 tells us, that anything that the enemy anything that the enemy has intended in our lives for evil, every effort, every attempt, every way that he has made, the circumstances and even the events of our lives that lead us into situations and circumstances that we didn't expect and we had no idea were going to be there, it reminds us that we know in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God prepares us for the things that he has prepared for us. 1 Corinthians 2:9. He prepares us. And he ultimately accomplishes his purposes for us, even when it looks like the enemy has intended and purposed something else. We talked about that Wednesday night. You know, we were talking about Joseph and his offense and the things that he had. And through the process and the chaos and the uncertainty of the circumstances and events that he faced in his life, God, because of his love for the Lord was continually renewing his mind. The Lord was continually restoring his soul. Amen? And through that whole process, God was reshaping his heart. And so when the moment came and he was finally in a position where he could do something about what had been done wrong to him, we see it in Genesis chapter 50. His brothers come. He doesn't kill them. He doesn't imprison them. He doesn't carry out the same harm against them. He loves them. He loves them. He loves them. Because he continued to love the Lord. Because that's the thing. We have to have this first part before I can talk to you about the next part of what Jesus said. Because if we're not allowing the Lord to renew our minds, if we're not allowing the Lord to restore our souls, if we're not allowing the Lord to completely reform our hearts, then we're robbing ourselves of not only the love that he has for us, but of the love that he's called for us to give to others. And we can never do that, because until that happens, until we love the Lord with everything that we have, we can never truly love ourselves, because it's only once we've done that that we're able to actually see ourselves for who he sees us as, who he's called us to be.